So, is it okay if we chant the prayers to our spiritual masters before we begin? That's my habit because otherwise I forget. I was chanting a shortened version because we have short classes in Japan. The Mangal Arctic is at 6 o'clock, and we Bhagavatam class starts at 6:25 and ends at 7, and that way people can go to work. So I would chant prayers. So the prayers are on page 10. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakara Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadvate Svavadantekam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Tam Sajevam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vidhanscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Krishnaline Nirvishesha Sunyavani Paschatya Deshatarine Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Shri Varsha Bhavani Devi Taitaya Kripadaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Yojwala Pimadya Shri Rupanyuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Srimurtaye Dinakarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantahanine Namo Gora Kishoraya Sakshat Vairagya Murtaye Viparambara Sambode Parambojayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namine Gora Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gora Vir Bhava Bhumestvam Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Vanchakatvakarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Pachitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gortushe Namaha Pachatatvam Makam Krishna Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Vatara Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopikantanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Suto Pando Mamanta Mate Gati Masarvasa Panambojo Radha Madana Mohano Divya Vidyaranya Kalpa Durmaja Srimad Ratnagara Simhasanasto Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Deva Prasthali Vey Sevya Mano Sumarani Srimad Rasa Rasarandi Vamsi Vata Kutanastitaha
Ashanvenu Swane Gopi, Gopinath Dashriye Sunaha, Tata Kanchana Gaurangi, Ave Vrindavanishwari, Vrishavani Susude Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vrindavanishwari, Vrishavani Kriyai Keshavashcha, Vishnubhakti Pradi Devi, Satyavachaya Namo Namaha, Nishinga, Jai Nishinga, Jai Jai Nishinga, Pradarishya Jaya Padma, Bhuta Padma Vringa, Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya, Dhanir Bhavati Bharata, Adhyutranam Dharmasya, Tadatmanam Shudamyam, Adhyutranaya Sadhuna, Vinyashacha Jiriskritam, Dharma Samstapadartaya, Sambhavami Yuge Yuge, Paramadvato, Madhyajima Namaskaru, Mami Vaishya Sisa Paiva, Manama Marayana, Sarvadharma Parichacha, Mami Kam Saranam Vraja, Aham Tam Sarva Bhavijo, Vaishya Mahami Masuchaha, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Srivasana Yoga Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Things are always expanding here at ISV, including, especially the mantras. Because Vaish is always expanding his practice, so if you want to keep up with him, you have to go along with him. Let's see. What? I know you sent me the verses, but...
It's 749. Oh, yeah, it's 49.
It's on 391.
391? Oh, you have it written here. Oh, look at that. Who wrote that such nice handwriting? Asatosh. Sutta vacha,
Sutta vacha,
Dharmyam,
Dharmyam,
Nyanyam,
Nyanyam,
Sakarunam,
Sakarunam,
Dharmyam, Nyam, Nyam, Sukaranam,
Dharmyam, Nyanyam, Sukaranam,
Nirvyalikam,
Nirvyalikam,
Samam,
Samam,
Mahat,
Mahat,
Dharmyam, Nyam, Nyam, Sukarunam,
Dharmyam, Nyam, Sukarunam,
Nirvyakilam, Samam, Mahat,
Nirvyakilam, Samam, Mahat,
Raja,
Raja,
Dharma,
Dharma,
Suto,
Suto,
Ragya, Ragya,
Ragya,
Dharmyam Nyam Nyam Sukarunam,
Dharmyam Nyayam Sukarunam,
Nirvyaklikam Samam Mahat,
Nirvyaklikam Samam Mahat,
Raja Dharma Suto Ragya,
Raja Dharma Suto Ragya,
Pratyanadya,
Pratyanadya,
Vacho,
Vacho,
Dvija,
Dvija,
Dharmyam Nyam Nyam Sakarunam,
Dharmyam Nyayam Sakarunam,
Nirvyalikam Samam Mahat,
Nirvyalikam Samam Mahat,
Rajo Dharma Suto Ragya,
Raja Dharma Suto Ragya,
Pratyananda Vacho Dvija,
Pratyananda Vacho Dvija,
Sutu Vacha,
Sutu Vacha,
Dharmyam Nyam Nyam Sukarunam,
Dharmyam Nyayam Sukarunam,
Nirvyaklikam Samam Mahat,
Nirvyaklikam Samam Mahat,
Raja Dharma Suto Ragya,
Raja Dharma Suto Ragya,
Pratyananda Vacho Dvija,
Pratyananda Vacho Dvija,
Sutu Vacha,
Sutu Vacha,
Dharmyam Nyayam Sukaranam,
Dharmyam Nyayam Sukaranam,
Nirgalikam samam mahat.
Nirgalikam samam mahat.
Raja dharma suto ragnya.
Raja dharma suto ragnya.
Pratyanandad vacho dvijaha.
Pratyanandad vacho dvijaha.
Suta uvacha.
Suta uvacha.
Dharmyam nyayam sakarunam.
Dharmyam nyayam sakarunam.
Nirgalikam samam mahat.
Nirgalikam samam mahat.
Raja dharma suto rajyah.
Raja dharma suto rajyah.
Pratyanandad vacho dvijaha.
Pratyanandad vacho dvijaha.
Suta
uvacha.
Dharmyam nyayam sakarunam.
Dharmyam nyayam sakarunam.
Nirgalikam samam mahat.
Nirgalikam samam mahat.
Raja dharma suto rajnya.
Raja dharma suto rajnya.
Pratyananda
vacho dvija.
Dharmyam nyayam sakarunam.
Dharmyam nyayam sakarunam. Nirgalikam samam mahat.
Raja dharma suto rajya.
Pratyanandad vacho dvija.
Suta uvacha.
Suta uvacha.
Dharmyam nyayam sakarunam.
Dharmyam nyayam sakarunam.
Nirvyalikam samam mahat.
Nirvyalikam samam mahat.
Raja dharmo suta ragya.
Raja dharmo suta ragya.
Pratyanandad vacho dvija.
Pratyanandad vacho dvija.
Suta vacha.
Suta vacha.
Dharmyam nayam sakarunam.
Dharmyam nayam sakarunam.
Nirvyalikam samam mahat.
Nirvyalikam samam mahat.
Raja dharma suto rajnya.
Raja dharma suto rajnya.
Pratyanandad vacho dvija.
Pratyanandad vacho dvija.
Suta vacha.
Suta vacha. Dharmyam nyayam sakarunam.
Nirvyalikam samam mahat.
Raja dharma suto rajya. Pratyananda vacho dvija. Suta uvacha. Dharmyam nyayam sakarunam. Nirgalikam samam mahat.
Raja dharma suto rajya.
Pratyanandad vacho dvija.
Suta uvacha.
Suta uvacha.
Dharmyam nyayam sakarunam.
Nirgalikam samam mahat.
Raja
dharma suto rajya. Pratyanandad vacho dvija.
Suta uvacha.
Dharmyam nyayam sakarunam.
Nirvyalikam samam mahat.
Raja dharma suto rajya.
Suta vacha.
Suta vacha.
Suta Goswami said.
Suta Goswami said.
Dharmyam.
Dharmyam.
In accordance with the principles of religion.
In accordance with the principles of religion.
Nyanyam.
Nyanyam.
Justice.
Justice.
Sakarunam.
Sakarunam.
Full of mercy.
Full of mercy.
Nirvyalikam.
Nirvyalikam.
Without duplicity in dharma.
Without duplicity in dharma.
Samam.
Samam.
Equity.
Equity.
Mahat.
Mahat.
Glorious.
Glorious.
Raja.
Raja.
The king.
The king.
Dharma suta.
Dharma suta.
Son.
Son.
Ragya.
Ragya.
By the queen.
By the queen.
Pratyanandat,
Pratyanandat,
supported,
supported.
Vacha,
vacha,
statements,
statements.
Dvija,
dvija,
O Brahmins.
O Brahmins. O Brahmins.
Translation. Suta Goswami said, O Brahmins, King Yudhisthira fully supported the statements of the queen, which were in accordance with the principles of religion and were justified, glorious, full of mercy and equity, and without duplicity. Please repeat. Suta Goswami
said, O Brahmins, King Yudhisthira fully supported the statements of the queen, which were in accordance with the principles of religion, and were justified, glorious, full of mercy and equity, and without duplicity.
Mm. Purport. Maharaj Yudhisthira, who was the son of Dharmaraj, or Yamaraj, fully supported the words of Queen Draupadi in asking Arjuna to release Aswatthama. One should not tolerate the humiliation of a member of a great family. Arjuna and his family were indebted to the family of Dronacharya because of Arjuna's learning the military science from him. If ingratitude were shown to such a benevolent family, it would not be all justified from the moral standpoint. The wife of Dronacharya, who was the half-body of the great soul, must be treated with compassion, and she should not be put into grief because of her son's death. What was Dronacharya's wife's name?
Kripi.
That is compassion. Such statements by Draupadi are without duplicity because actions should be taken with full knowledge. The feeling of equality was there because Draupadi spoke out of her personal experience. A barren woman cannot understand the grief of a mother. Draupadi was herself a mother, and therefore her calculation of the depth of Kripa's grief was quite to the point. And it was glorious because she wanted to show proper respect to a great family. Verse again. Suta Goswami said, O Brahmins, King Yudhisthira fully supported the statements of the queen, which were in accordance with the principles of religion and were justified, glorious, and full of mercy, equity, and without duplicity. So, this chapter has been about Suta Goswami. First, he's speaking to the sages at Namaisharanya, and he's relating this story, talking about at the near the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra, Aswatthama, who was the son of Dronacharya, in the night. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know these stories that well. He killed the five sons of Draupadi as they were sleeping. And he wanted to demoralize the Pandavas. He thought if he killed them, they would be so heartbroken that they would give up the fight. And so he did something that was outrageous and against all moral principles. Against the principles of the martial class. You're not supposed to kill an enemy who is unarmed or doesn't want to fight. What to speak of somebody who's asleep? That's a very cowardly act. And so Arjuna, he was very angry. Arjuna is the father of these five sons, and Draupadi is his wife. And so Arjuna was very angry, and he captured Aswatthama. And Krishna is telling Aswatthama, you know, this guy's a real jerk. You should just kill him. And there would be no sin in killing such a person who's acted so sinfully. But Draupadi, on the other hand, she's saying, wait a minute. I don't want his mother to suffer the way I'm suffering. So she's actually feeling some compassion. And it's interesting. In relationships, how you know, it's funny when you could say that if somebody wrongs us, somebody does something wrong to hurt us, we want justice for that person, right? We want them to pay for what they've done to us, and we would like others to know what they've done as well. We kind of want to broadcast how the person has injured us. That may be our initial reaction. But if we make some mistake, if we hurt somebody, then we want mercy. Right? Don't give me justice, give me mercy. You know? Can't you understand? You know, we all make mistakes, right? So it's interesting to see the dynamics here. You know, Arjuna and Krishna, they want justice. And Draupadi, she actually wants to give some mercy. Because she is understanding how she's putting herself in the place of Aswatthama's mother and understanding her suffering. Isn't there a verse in the Gita? Is it the 11th chapter where...
Sixth chapter.
Sayogi paramomataha.
He's the supreme yogi who can empathize with others and see their sufferings as similar to his.
Yes, so, yeah, thank you. So compassion and understanding another person's pain and suffering is essential in human relationships if we're going to get along with each other. Because individuals are different. There's always going to be some friction. We're not going to help it. Sometimes we're going to ignore each other. Sometimes we're going to say things in anger we don't mean. We're going to hurt each other's feelings. If we're, you know, if two people are in the same house together, or in the same temple together, there's going to be different needs that arise, and there's going to be a lapse of judgment, and there's going to be mistakes made. And if we can't forgive each other, then then the heart closes, basically. And that means we can't advance spiritually as well. They all relate to each other. That's why I was this time when we read Nectar of Instruction, I was so struck by Rupa Goswami's verses about relationships amongst devotees. I was so surprised how he mentioned all these things before he mentioned about chanting Hare Krishna. And how these, how it's essential for us to be able to, exchange the six symptoms of love, and it's also very essential for us to be able to get along, and to learn to forgive each other. But it's an interesting thing about forgiveness that I learned, and that is, generally we want to forgive people right away sometimes. But that can be a mistake. And sometimes, especially people we care about, like family members or authority figures, like father, mother, temple president, gurus, we want to say, oh, we say right away, oh yeah, I forgive you. You know, what you did to me, it doesn't really matter. But actually, we shouldn't be so quick to forgive, because that's not real forgiveness. We can't really forgive until we acknowledge what's been done to us. Until we experience that pain, we accept it, we acknowledge it. So if we quickly say, oh, it didn't matter, you know, that you didn't write back to me, or that, you know, you called me a name, or somehow you neglected me. Because the fact is, our feelings may have been hurt. So before we can actually forgive somebody, we have to acknowledge our own feelings. Completely. And then at that point say, okay, I forgive you. You're off the hook. You know, I won't mark that on the scorecard anymore. Mm-hmm. And we were learning that on this trip. We actually kind of made it a little bit of a practice. Because we talk about it in the class, and we think about all the different ways that we offend each other. And then what happens when that happens? You know, when we feel offended, then our heart closes down, right? We may smile at each other, you know, superficially, but there's really no exchange going on when we talk. There can't be a loving exchange when the heart's closed up. And our heart is actually our medium to express feelings. And we use it all the time. And if it closes down with one person, it may, you know, as a tool or as an instrument, it's not as efficient. It doesn't function well when it's closed down. What to speak of when we're chanting Hare Krishna. In order to chant Hare Krishna, in order to connect with Krishna, it's a process of connecting with the heart, with emotion. It's not just an intellectual process. So if our hearts close down, then that affects our chanting, that affects our relationships with everyone. So it's interesting to watch how that happens and then what we have to do in order to open it up again. First, we don't even notice it sometimes when our heart closes down. Right? Our body will manifest signs in many different ways. Like what are some of the signs and symptoms of a closed heart?
Moroseness.
Huh? What else?
Person may become withdrawn.
Withdrawn. Anything else?
Anger.
Always have ill feelings about others. Like not to see the good in anything.
Yeah, we'll see the bad in that person or others,
yeah.
Huh? Well, everything will be appear negative in our life, huh?
Yeah.
The environment is no longer friendly. Now, eye contact. Right? You don't want to look at that person. Yeah, there are different signs and symptoms of a closed heart. So Rupa Goswami, he stresses these six exchanges of love, and then he talks about how to engage in relationships with different levels of the devotees, and then also how to focus on the transcendental side of a devotee. And so, the first part of dealing with a closed heart is to notice that it's closed, and to actually experience the tightness, you know, that's there, the moroseness, and not really try and push it away, but fully acknowledge it. Because if we suppress it, then it stays there, and it may actually, that negative energy goes into our different organs, and if it becomes like a cultivation of hate, then that can actually turn into cancers and different physical illnesses eventually. But if it's fully acknowledged, it's interesting actually how I noticed, probably Nirkula tells you this, but people when they get massage, Mahaguna, my wife's a masseuse, so she tells me sometimes when people have particular problem, you know, like a stiffness in their shoulder or a particular ache in their back, when she works on it, sometimes people just start spontaneously crying because that emotion gets released. They don't even know why they're crying. Or sometimes it will bring up their past emotions or past negative experiences they've had with people, that once that energy gets released, it'll come into the consciousness. So it gets stuck there in the body. It doesn't go away. But if we fully acknowledge it, and then we forgive the person, then that's actual forgiveness. And so, in order to forgive, we really actually have to put ourselves in the other person's position too. We have to see how it's possible that they might have neglected us, or that they did something to offend us. We have to see that, well, you know, I might have done the same thing. In the same situation, I might have made that mistake, or I might have acted selfishly. If we can try and understand how, I could have made the, you know, I could have done that myself. If we put ourselves in the other person's position, then there's room, you know, in our heart for compassion, for forgiveness. Kind of like Draupadi is showing here towards Aswatthama, because she's putting herself in the position of Kripi, and how Kripi must feel that a first son is killed, and wow, I know exactly how you're going to feel because my sons were just killed by your son and I'm grieving like this. I don't think it's worth it. What good will this really accomplish? You know, better mercy is better or higher than justice, or love is higher than justice. So sometimes justice is important. Sometimes it doesn't mean even sometimes that when we forgive something that a person doesn't have to pay the price. That's actually another another aspect of forgiveness is repentance. You know, on the other hand, we forgive, but then the other person also must repent. They don't have to repent, but it's good if they do repent. We can still forgive somebody who's not repenting. We can forgive them not for ourselves, but for our own good. And that's the reason why we should actually forgive. Because if we hold on to the negative energy, then we're not hurting the other person, we're just simply hurting ourselves. So we want to let give of that. But on the other person's side, if we make an offense, we should repent. And so repent means that we acknowledge what we've done, we admit it, and then we have to pay a little price, you know. There should be some result. We have to, go to jail, or we have to pay the fine, or we have to make amends to the person that we've offended. Like, you know, Prabhu, I've offended you. You know, what can I done, you know, to rectify this? And we can give some rectification. And then that kind of completes the cycle. You know, then both are equal, and then the hearts can open, and then the relationship can resume, even though there's been some hurt on both sides. If there's forgiveness on one side and real repentance on the other, then the hearts can remain open, and then the heart functions well, and then the relationships, the exchanges, can go on. Because we can't progress in Krishna consciousness by ourselves. We need the association of other devotees, and we need the loving support of other devotees. And that's the real enjoyment as well. Prabhupada was on a walk one time, and the devotees were laughing and enjoying, and they were having a lot of fun. And Prabhupada says, just see, if I was walking alone like this, I wouldn't be laughing and enjoying. I'm laughing and enjoying because you're here, and we're enjoying relationships with each other, just like Krishna enjoys the relationship with us and with his, you know, he expands himself for enjoyment. And because we're part of Krishna, we want to enjoy relationships, and that's essential. And if we can't enjoy relationships, or we don't want to enjoy relationships, then we're sick, really, you know. There's something wrong with that person who is withdrawn and isolated like that. It's not normal. And so we're meant to be together, and we need to progress in this journey together. And we need each other's support and love, and in this way we really enjoy. And so Rupa Goswami, in the two verses, he really points out that devotees need each other, they need association, and therefore we should associate with the devotees, and we should not associate with non-devotees. He points it out in two verses in slightly different ways. He says, Atyahara Priyasas Cha Prajalpo Niyamagraha Jana Sangas Chaloyam Cha Sadbir Bhaktya Vinashati. He said one should avoid association of those who have no interest in Krishna consciousness. And then in the next verse, those were the negative things that one should avoid. And then he says the positive things you should do, which he says, Utsahan Nishaya Daryat Tattak Karma Vartana Sangha Chaga Satovrite Sadbir Bhaktir Prasidyati. And then again he says, you know, be enthusiastic, be confident, be tolerant, engage in practical activities of devotional service, avoid the association of non-devotees, and follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. He says, if you do these six things, your bhakti will sure to mature, and you'll experience the fruits of love of God. And so if we don't, you know, we need association, we want association. If we don't find pleasing, satisfactory association with devotees, then we'll look for it with non-devotees. Either way, we have to have that. We have to have pleasing relationships, exchanges of love in our life. They're absolutely necessary. So if we don't establish that in our community with the devotees, then we'll look outside. I was also reading an interesting thing on dandavats.com. I think I mentioned it to Vaish, that one sociologist was studying religious movements and conversion rates. And he was studying pretty much Christian groups, like the Mormons and different groups. And he was noticing that when people actually convert to a religion, when they take up a religious process, what causes them to convert really so much isn't the belief system of the religion or the philosophy, but it's the association they find. You read that article?
Yeah.
It's interesting. When their association becomes more pleasing, when they become more attached to their friends in their religious group, they become more attached to those friends than their friends in the non-religious world, that's when they convert at that point. And he was also noticing how the Mormons, they go door to door, right? And out of 1,000 doors they go to, one person may become a Mormon. But if they approach the friends of Mormons, like, or those relatives of Mormons, 50% of those people convert that have a personal connection to begin with. So people that have no personal connection at all and we're approaching them, 1 out of 1,000 may take it up, those who have the unusual sukriti. But approaching people who already have relationships with devotees, and they were noticing how this is actually how religious movements really expand over time and grow and become big and secure. It's actually all through relationships and creating environments where those relationships can be fostered and maintained.
Isn't there a fine line in the advice that's given that do not associate with non-devotees, when we know that these non-devotees who may be friends of devotees may be future candidates for conversion?
Very good. Well, that's true. And then it's again, you know, how do we define association? You know, so it's those six exchanges of love. And so we have to be a little bit careful, you know, that when we exchange, like giving and taking prasadam, you know, we can go out with non-devotees to a restaurant and they can say, you know, come on, we're just out for a little. We're going to have a little fun. You can have, you know, don't be so strict. You know, one drink's not going to kill you. You know? You can go back to the temple and stop drinking after that. So it's like association means, do we come down to their level or do they come up to our level? And so we have to have our principles. One devotee in Japan, I've probably given this story, he works for a company that does a lot of work with the Eastern Bloc countries. And in Japan, a lot of business is done out of the office, in clubs, and over dinner and things like that. It's just, you can't do business otherwise. So he was a translator. That's his main function in the company, is translating English to Japanese. And he had to entertain these group of businessmen coming from an Eastern Bloc country. And he went out with his boss. And his boss actually said that to him, come on, you can have one, you know, one drink, or, you know, a little meat's not going to hurt you, come on. And he said, well, you know, I'm really sorry, I have a spiritual master, I've made this vow, I can't do these things. He just told him straight, but in a very polite way. And his boss became very impressed by that. Wow, you actually have these principles, you have a spiritual master, what is that? And so he does now go out with clients, but he... you know, he doesn't drink and he doesn't eat meat when he does that. And he becomes an influence on them, rather than becoming an influence on him. So we have to see our situation, but we have to be careful. And we associate in these six ways. You know, when we give advice or we open our heart, we have to be careful who we do that to. The six exchanges of love are giving presence, you know, receiving and listening, opening the heart and hearing and replying, taking advice, giving advice, and then offering prasadam, taking prasadam. So these are the six exchanges of love. They go on between all social groups. So we can do that in a devotional setting or not. So in this way, we have to be a little careful.
What's the difference between offenses and committing sins?
Like offenses in to chanting the holy name?
Chanting the holy name, offenses in devotional service, or offenses to devotees, as opposed to sinful and pious activity.
Well, ultimately, sin means to forget Krishna. And so whenever we're acting in ignorance and forgetfulness of Krishna, there's some sin there. But the real sin, you know, it's more of a, you know, degrees of our ill will or malicious intent. You know, there's sin due to ignorance, and then there's sin where malicious intention is involved. Just like you're a lawyer, so you know, right? There's manslaughter where if you kill somebody by accident, the penalty's not so great. But if you willfully and premeditatedly murder somebody, that's murder in the first degree, and you get, you know, firing squad. Same with the chanting of the offenses against chanting. You know, there are some offenses that are are more malicious, and the effects are more worse than others. You know, so willfully offending a devotee is much worse than being inattentive. And so a lot of it comes down to what our motivation is. Sin is in the heart, in the motivation, and offenses too. You know, if we willfully try and hurt somebody, that's one thing. And if we hurt somebody due to neglect, that's another. So it's just different degrees of what our inner motivation is. Some comment on?
Yeah, you had said that it's a good idea, I'm just paraphrasing, to organize a community of devotees in such a way that devotees can have more loving exchanges, take care of each other more, and in that vein you were talking. And I wondered if you could give us some practical ideas how we can make progress in that way, because we'd like to do that here. We'd like to have you know, devotees, everyone feeling taken care of, and a way to take care of devotees, people who come in who are new, people who are in the middle, you know, everyone. So could you tell us a little bit how to make progress this year?
Well, I'm trying to figure this out myself. I noticed at Mayapur, I was reading one bulletin. They have a ministry there of devotee care. You know, all aspects of material, psychological, and spiritual, and they have broken up into groups with group leaders, and where people regularly associate in a small group, and they try and help each other spiritually, emotionally, with counseling. I noticed Jayapataka Swami when he came to Japan. It was really interesting last year. He was only there for one day, but when he met people, he gave them a counseling form. And I can't recall what was on the form so much now, but it had like personal information. Just like if you go in to see a doctor, sometimes you have to fill out a little questionnaire so they understand a little bit about your medical history and what your needs are. So I think that things like that might be a good idea, that we break up into smaller groups. It's difficult for us to pay close attention to more than a certain number of people in our circle, you know, like 10 or 20, I think. It's more than that. It becomes, people don't have enough time for each other. So we broke up into groups, kind of had a group leader, and then you know, had a forum where we actually got into the nitty-gritty of our personal lives and what's going on and how we can support each other. Because we all have different problems materially, financially, emotionally, in our relationships with family, children. And when we open our hearts to others who want to help us, sometimes we get good advice, sometimes we can just release that emotional tension and we can get help in different ways. Sometimes when we just reveal our minds, we see things in our minds that we couldn't see before. Things come out that we weren't aware of. And then once they're out in the open, we can deal with them. So I think that would be helpful for us to do that here. And also make a chart of the devotional roadmap, so that we understand where we are in devotional service. And we reveal our minds to those who are on a higher level of devotional service. So there's faith, there's shraddha, right? Faith, association with the devotees, bhajana kriya, one who's taken up all the vows and is initiated. Then there's anartha nirviti, nishta, ruchi. There's different levels, and there are ways to analyze them so we see what our level is and that we begin to treat each other kind of in those levels. But Rupa Goswami recommends that in the fifth verse. He talks about that we should respect all devotees who chant Hare Krishna. We should learn to respect each other, basically, and appreciate those who are engaged in devotional service, those who are chanting Hare Krishna, appreciate how special that is, how rare it is for someone to actually be chanting the name of the Lord with faith. Such an unusual soul. It's a rare adhikari, or actual qualification, to be able to do that. And such a person is much greater than the greatest materialist, the greatest impersonalist, the greatest yogi. Someone who has come to that point where they're going to give up their enviousness of God and say, yes, you're great, I want to surrender to you. And who has finished all that other stuff. It's a great position. So to cultivate that appreciation for each other, cultivating appreciation and then learning in a functional way, organizing ourselves in a functional way to support each other, I think we need to do that. And then to train each other and to learn what our next step is. If we have a map and we see where we are on the path, then we know what our next step is. But if we don't, if we're kind of oblivious and we don't have a map, we're on this path but we don't know exactly where we are, then we don't know where to go yet. And it we hesitate. Right? If we're driving a car and suddenly we're lost, what do we do? Well, if we're smart, we stop and ask somebody, where am I? Yeah. If we keep driving, then we may be going down the wrong path and then we have to spend so much time coming back to the right path. So we need to have a map. And then we know what our next step is. So I think those are some things we could do. Anything else? Okay. Well, it's so great to be back. It's so nice to see your faces again and to be in your your warm, loving support. We'll be here for 2 months before we go back. Well, I'm looking forward to many more Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sankirtan, Harinams, and so, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, the Sama devotees ki jai.
Satyadeva Prabhu ki jai.
Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai.